My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It is the 22nd of July 2009 at 12:30 p.m. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
Sure. My name's Anna Michelle Holcroft. I was born on the 25th of September 1958 and I live in Tunbridge Wells. I was originally from Manchester.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
Apprehensive. Quite excited. It's not a bad feeling, but it's quite butterflying.
How did you first hear about the project?
I'm having to remembering the form asked me that. I think I heard about it on BBC Radio London, which would mean it was probably Robert Elm's show, who does a lot of London-based stuff. And that was way back in the depths of winter. So I thought, oh, I'd like to see what it looks like from up there, being a nosy sort of person. So I applied, and at that time, as far as I could tell, the only deal was you get an hour on the plinth. I didn't realise there was going to be all this media surrounding it, which it's the media that's making me nervous, not the plinth.
Have you been following the media coverage?
On and off. I've tried not to because it was making me panic. Every time I watched anything, I thought, oh no, I can't do that, I'm going to phone them up and cancel. But I didn't. I thought anything that scares me this much needs to be done. So yeah, I've seen bits and pieces, bits in the paper. I've seen the website on and off. Not very often. I'm not often near a computer during the day.
So what inspired you to apply?
Sheer curiosity. I'm the sort of person, you know, they have hoardings, sorry, waving my hands around, this is recording only in sound. They put hoardings around building sites and they cut little holes for people to look through. I can't walk past one of those, I have to go and have a look. And any chance I get to sort of see a different view of things, I take. I like heights, I've been a balloonist in the past, and as a child I slept on the wardrobe for about 6 months, top of the wardrobe. I just like being above, up. So it was perfect for me.
And how did you feel when you found out you had a place?
Gobsmacked. I really didn't expect... I didn't expect to get a place. Obviously you apply, you may get one, but it completely blindsided me, and I accepted straight away without giving myself time to think. I thought, if I think about this, I'm not going to do it, so I just, yep, okay, I'll do it. And spent the rest of the day walking around thinking, oh my God, what have I done? Which hasn't really gone away. But I'm very glad to be here now. I'm sort of looking forward to it. Sort of.
Can you tell me a bit more about being a balloonist? What does that mean?
Hot air balloons. You know, you see, I this is some time ago now. I started in the late 80s. Just flying hot air balloons. I spent a couple of summers traipsing all around the country doing it. I couldn't afford a balloon of my own, so I used to crew for people who could in return for free flights afterwards. And it's a lovely height to bat. It's kind of the world is out spread below you, but you're not so high up that you can't make out the detail.
How did you discover that as something to do?
It's this obsession with height. You know, I can't see something up there without wondering what it looks like from up there. Tree houses, always, you know, I was the kind of kid who was always up trees. And I like maps, you know, I like the layout below. And I've walked past that plinth so many times during my life. I've been in Trafalgar Square so many times in my life. It'd just be nice to see it from a different angle.
What is it about being up high that you like so much?
I don't know what is it you like about chocolate. I don't know. I just it's something I have always liked, and the more you do it, the more you want to do it. It's quite addictive, actually. I do rock climbing. Couldn't do anything like that. I like having my feet on something solid and looking down. Certainly couldn't parachute.
And is it something that you've always been interested in?
From very small child. Always climbing up things, getting on the roof. I think I should have been born a pigeon.
So what will you be doing for the hour on the plinth?
I shall be drinking tea and listening to the radio. It's my lunch hour, 1 till 2. I shall attempt to do what I do most Wednesdays between 1 and 2, which is drink tea, listen to the radio, do the crossword. It's very noisy out there. I guess I'm not going to be able to have conversations with people on the ground, although I would like to. I do quite like people.
Would you like people to interact with you?
Oh, only on my terms. Control freakery. No, that's great. I'm quite happy to chat, you know.
Did you consider doing anything else on the plinth at any point?
You get the wild ideas, you know, that sort of madness that comes over you thinking, my God, I have to entertain. But I've thought about it. If people want entertainment, they can go to Covent Garden. You know, I shall point behind St Martin's, loads of buskers, and they're trying to earn a living. I have no skills I could put onto the plinth. I'm a gardener by trade, so you know, I can prune stuff, I can edge. I'm a very good gardener, actually. But what could I do on the plinth as a gardener? I saw a lady clipping a box bush into a human shape, and I thought that was brilliant, but I wouldn't want to do that in public. I'd have too many people on the website saying, no, don't do it like that, do it like that. I'm taking up 3 decoy pigeons with me, which I've borrowed from a friend who shoots, and I'm going to see if I can managed to decoy one of the real live Trafalgar Square pigeons down onto the plinth, just to give myself something to aim for.
Are you taking anything else up with you, just in case?
A clean pair of socks, although it doesn't look like it's going to rain. Nope, that's it. Tea, paper, radio, that's the lot. And the pigeons.
So why did you choose to do that and not something else?
I'm no extrovert, really, and I thought, oh, okay, you know, I've seen over the time that people have been doing charities, and I thought, oh, yeah, okay, and you know, there's a couple of causes that I'm are close to me, but you know, until just now, I thought I was here completely on my own. It turns out somebody has come to wave at me. But I, you know, I had nobody to rattle collecting tins around the base, so I wasn't going to collect money. And there seemed little point in raising the awareness of, well, 2 charities. One is a mental health charity, and the other one is my local hospice. But they're both, you know, they don't need my publicity, me sitting there saying support Weald Hospice, and I'm not very good at that. I don't, you know, I can't part people from their money easily. Ask my bank manager.
Who would you say that you're doing this for?
Me, just me. just me.
You mentioned that you're a gardener by trade earlier. Would you tell us a little bit more about that?
It's something I've been doing now for 20 odd years, something like that. I've had a variety of jobs over the time. I was, I've always been a gardener, even before I did it for a living. So it's just something I like. I'm comfortable in the outside. Again, I'm this, you know, was never indoors when I could be outdoors. And it's worked quite well for me. I enjoy it.
What do you hope happens when you get up on the plinth?
I hope I get a pigeon. That would be quite funny. Absolutely nothing. I have no expectations at all. I don't want anything to happen. No, I'm not going to be disappointed if nothing happens, let's put it like that.
Have you participated in arts projects or events before?
Odds and sods. I mean, as far as artichoke goes, I saw the Sultan's Elephant, which was superb. I wanted to go up to Liverpool to see the spider, but work, I just couldn't, it was too complicated. But I'd have loved to have seen the spider. I went to art college. I mean, that was my original path in life. And it's the nosiness thing, you know, never walk past a gallery without sticking my head in. I just, nosy, curious, inquisitive. It's probably the kind of word, yeah.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of this project?
It's, until today, it really did feel like just me. You know, I was just thinking, oh, I'm going to go up for an hour and enjoy the view and come down. And now, of course, it's become kind of, you think, well, 2,400 people. And you good souls, you know, dealing with 2,400 assorted people. It must be quite an achievement. I can't, you know, that in itself impresses me a lot. And I liked, the Mark Wallinger that was on, back in the day. That's quite a long time ago now, isn't it? You know, the Christ. And that for me worked really well because it was so small. You know, that kind of just... And of course he was life-size, wasn't he? He was, you know, but that really spoke to me, that thing on the plinth. And now I'm standing here thinking, yeah, well, you know, that's I'm going to be that small on that great big bombastic plinth, that pompous plinth, and then there's just me and my pigeons. I like it, subversive.
Do you come through the square and see the plinth a lot?
Yeah, oh god, over the years, Trafalgar Square, probably my earliest memory. I was raised in Africa, and we used to come home on leave every 2 years and stay in a hotel somewhere around here. So, I can remember aged 5 standing in Trafalgar Square and somebody handing me this thing of pigeon food and all these pigeons coming. It was horrible. Hated that. I used to work in Southwark in the late 70s, early 80s, and I used to work Sunday mornings. And I used to come to the anti-apartheid demonstrations outside South Africa House. You know, they did it constantly. It was always there. And I used to come in about 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning and stand for an hour and then go off to work. I have danced in Trafalgar Square. Well, yes. Not in an organised fashion. I've had one disastrous romantic assignation where we met in Trafalgar Square. I've walked so often. Because I now live in Tunbridge Wells, Charing Cross is my station, and I'll kill time in the National Gallery while I'm waiting for a train. So yeah, I probably walk through a couple of times a week at least.
How come you were raised in Africa?
My father's job. He worked for the British Council, so we went out there when I was 2, Well, it wasn't just Africa. It was Africa, Sri Lanka, Berlin, Copenhagen. It kind of went on and on. We didn't have a home in England, so we'd come back on leave and we'd stay in fairly cheap hotels in London for 3 months. And I that was all I knew of England, was London. Tubes, and I loved it. I was a very happy child. I didn't go to school, so I could just bomb around. I've always loved London. It's the best city.
And what are the things that are important to you in your life now?
Getting through till 2 o'clock. The usual stuff, work, fun, friends, nothing. I have no family. I have parents, but I'm not married. I have no children. So I please myself pretty much, which is lovely.
And how would you summarise your experience of the project since first applying and to now before you're about to go up?
I've been absolutely charmed by all of you. I've had phone calls from really nice people who are so kind of serene and concerned and cheerful. The actual running of the project, I absolutely couldn't fault. It's been immaculate. You know, I have felt supported every step of the way. Of course, I'm not going to be when I'm up there on my own. I shall just have to look over to this little porter cabin and remember you all sitting in here, being calm. It's been great. Really, apart from actually having to do it, it's been fabulous.